Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson, part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Glad to be back on here tonight. We had some technical difficulties last week. Couldn't get on, but we got it figured out, and we're back rolling. So glad to be back on here. We talk about some football and a little bit of everything. And what about the games that we've seen this past weekend? You know, I hate for San Francisco that quarterback got hurt early, sort of put them in a really bad position, and then they couldn't even do anything but run the ball. And Philadelphia played an excellent game anyway, so they took it to them. But then the Cincinnati and Kansas City game was a really good game. But you know, seems like every week I get on here and talk about some bonehead play. And I'm not saying Kansas City wouldn't have got into field goal range anyway, but, you know, Mahomes takes off running there at the end of the game, has clear 2 feet clearly out of bounds, and the guy hits him and they tack on 15 more yards. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, I don't get it. And you've seen the guy was in a bad way after the game. He sat over there forever with the towel and his head hung down. He knew, you know, and that's the problem. And I mean, I know that's sort of a physical thing, but I mean, you got to know those quarterbacks, they get close to that sideline, they're going to call it. And especially when, you know, it knocked him down, it knocked somebody else down, and it just went, you know, just went crazy. But nevertheless, it was a good game all the way through it. Just seemed like they couldn't get a stop, and then they get one. It was just a crazy game. So Super Bowl should be a good one. I mean, who knows? You know, I'll tell you, the Eagles, they look good, but what about the call that they missed there at the very first of the game when the guy, everybody thought Smith made a heck of a catch, and he actually didn't make the catch, and when he was hurrying them up to the line, he knew it, and the refs never even buzzed in. I mean, as many times as they buzz in for stuff, as many times as they slow the game down to replay and recheck and all that, and we can't even get a stoppage to look at it. I thought that was a little bad, but nevertheless, I mean, it is what it is. You know, the way it turned out, it didn't matter, but it could have mattered. So, you know, still you want to see with as much technology and as much as they start and stop these games, you'd like to see them get it right at all costs. And, you know, when the announcers start talking about it, then you know it's pretty bad. So it was, I thought. But Super Bowl should be a fantastic game, you know. I'm not so wild about the Pro Bowl, that being flag or touch or whatever it is, but they're thinking it's going to be a hit, but I'm not sold on it. But nevertheless, I guess those guys, once they get to that point, don't want to tackle or hit anymore. I'm not sure, but football to me is just tackle football. But you know, that's just, they're in a different league, different breed there, so they do their own thing. And I did hear one of those analysts say they quit tackling a long time ago, so it might be a good thing. Who knows? You know, the one thing, when I was a kid growing up, I never really thought, and especially in school, I never even thought about coaching any kind of ball. Never even really paid any attention to coaching until, you know, after I get out and Jennifer started playing and we was watching football and all that, you know. Of course, my brother was interested in it But if I see some of the worst coaching in these high school, we go watch my nephew play basketball every Tuesday and Friday, and they play in the team he even plays on. These coaches do some of the craziest, dumbest things that I've ever seen. And my point is, if that's your passion, that since you got out of school, you went to high school and you went to college and you got a degree and you started teaching, you start coaching, I don't get it, man. I mean, to me, coaching's not rocket science. And, you know, these philosophies that these guys do is just beyond me. I don't get it at all. You know, they start doing this crazy stuff, man. It's I'm telling you, you just wouldn't believe it. And it just brings me to the fact of, you know, why are we paying these people? And once they get these coaches, like around here, once they hire these coaches that teach, they get this tenure stuff in, you can't get rid of them. And they're just there and there and there. And I just see week in and week out wasted talent, especially in the girls' basketball games. We go get there, Lynn usually watch the girls play, and, man, I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. And I'm thinking, how does these people keep these jobs when they're not any more serious than what they are? They don't win any more than what they are. They just, you know, they're just not doing the best thing right for these kids. And when you see these kids every week, practice every day, you know, it really, you know, is crazy. Where Jennifer works, Elizabeth, at the city schools, and they got a heck of a good basketball team. And, I mean, they probably got two girls that'll go. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go D1 and play college basketball somewhere. But, shoot, they can run, dribble, shoot, all the above. I mean, we see them make plays week in and week out that other girls couldn't even think about doing. And maybe a lot of it ain't coaching, but I'm telling you, if you really pay attention to what's coaching, and if you've ever coached any, the coaching level has went way down. And, you know, I'd like to see in this women's football is it turn around. That's my main thing, is I'd like to see it get to where, you know, it's at a better quality than what it is. And, you know, a lot of times these coaches, especially in the women, they get caught up in trying to sound good, look good, and all this stuff. But at the bottom line is, at the end of the day, you got to win. And that's what I believe, and that's what matters the most. And, you know, I'll never forget that Joe Theismann, when he played for the Redskins, he said that, you know, they won the Super Bowl that year. They had seven plays is all they had, and they ran them out three different formations, and they won the Super Bowl. So you just think about that. You see these play callers, these coaches, they'll have a sheet of paper. That thing will be about 2 foot square, and it'll have front and back plays wrote on it. And in the game, they run the same old plays half the time. You know, that don't make sense. Now, if it's working, I get it. You know, I get it. But what I'm saying is, you know, here you got all this stuff you're preparing for. And man, it just seems like that, you know, you don't have to have all that, I guess what I'm saying. You know, you go back to Joe Theismann, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winner, saying they had like 21, well, they had seven plays and run them out three different formations, so they actually had 21 plays they had to remember. But what he said was, we run those 21 plays to perfection. We really execute them. So I think we don't see enough of that in women's football, is do something good. That you know, do that enough to where you're good. Do it right. You know, make sure, shoot, you don't have but two or three plays and you master them, it's hard to stop. But, you know, you shoot, you run the ball, and all of a sudden, yeah, oh, man, we got to throw this thing. Well, it's fine if you throw it, but if you can't throw it, then, you know, you get behind the chains, you can't run it, and all of a sudden you've got out your game plan, and here we are. So I don't know. That's sort of a pet peeve of mine, I guess. And what's crazy is I never really worried about it or paid that much attention until we started the Thunder team. And, well, actually before that when Jennifer started playing, but really when we started the Thunder team and I started coaching it, that, you know, my main thing was is you got to have a certain few things, and you got to do them right. And, you know, no longer than we see these girls at practice, it ain't like you get to practice every day year-round. You're trying to learn these girls just, you know, just positions. I mean, shoot, it's just like tonight. We had a workout, and I'm trying to learn two girls that never played before that, you know, don't have a clue of really what's going on. They've learned routes. They play wide receiver and defensive back, and we're just trying to, you know, get them up to par with any kind of football knowledge to even fit in with the rest of the team because they've never played and they're young. And, you know, they're starting to get a little better. They're starting to get a little better, but it takes so much, you know. So for them, and I mean, we don't run a complicated system. We just sort of run a basic thing. And, you know, there's not a lot to remember, I don't think, but for them, there's a ton of stuff to remember. So, you know, if you do a few things and do them right, then I think you get way more out of it than trying to do too much and you can't do anything right. You know, like we've had girls come to us from other teams and say, you know, the coaches give them a playbook, inch thick, and tell them to go learn it. And they have, you know, I guess, what is they call these, Zoom meetings back before they were Zooms, I guess, whatever they called them. And they went over these plays and all that, and that's fine. But if you haven't run them on the field, these girls don't know where to line up. They don't even know where you're talking about some of these plays. So these girls tell me, we get out there on the field and, you know, maybe only one person knows what to do. So you're running all these plays. Well, you know, I'm like, why do you run all them? We don't know. But you know what? It's because that's what the football world is becoming. You got to have a play that sounds four minutes long and sound cool and all that. When at the end of the day, does it matter if you win? That's my philosophy. So I don't, you know, buy into that. When I played, they used the term KISS, and that was just keep it simple, stupid. And that's sort of, you know, my philosophy here. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes this year and see how we get these young girls ready to play and up to par, how much they can play. You know, it all depends on how much they learn. It's all about them. It ain't, you know, I tell everybody that's on this team, it ain't up to me. It's really not. It's up to the players. It's who wants to learn the most, who wants it the most. Because I don't care who makes a tackle as long as we make a tackle. And, you know, that's sort of been my philosophy. If you want a position, go earn it. Go take it. So there's so much to do, but I think if you keep it as simple as you can, but I mean, I understand you got to have certain plays for certain, you know, in the women's football world, they mostly go for two. So you got to have 2-point conversion plays, and you got to have short yardage plays, and then if you get behind the chains plays, I get it. And, you know, you got to prepare for all that, but I'm not going to spend all my time on that, I can assure you. So we'll see what happens. But my main topic for tonight is, you know, especially for these people out here that listen and a lot of these girls that play and other people that I know, is what does women's football really mean to you? And, you know, I asked that, and I put a lot of thought into it because I know a lot of people, and they claim that it means a lot to them, but they don't do a lot to prove that. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, I wrote down a bunch of stuff that, you know, that feeds into that, you know, I want to talk about some. Coaching is one of them I got wrote down here. You know, that's first and foremost. You got to have your coaches. But what about your ownership? You know, you got to have an owner that's willing, in my opinion, to you hire coaches, whatever their salary is, if there is, whatever, you're still hiring them to do the job. It is, if you're an owner, you know, surely you've done enough homework on these coaches to say, hey, you know, here's the team we got. Here, you go evaluate the talent we got. But here's what I think we got. And as a coach, here's what, as an owner and talking to the coach, here's what I'd like to see and this, that, and the other, and you give me your opinion. And if they both agree on that, then, you know, most definitely, in my opinion, the owner needs to take care of owning stuff and the coach needs to take care of the coach. Now, we all know that in the NFL that Jerry Jones has his hand in more coaching than any other owner probably in the league. And every year at some point in time, it's a show, you know, and something always comes up. And I myself just don't believe in that. I don't think it should be that. I think if, you know, you're going to put the trust in them to hire them to do the job, you got to let them do the job. And if they're not, then you need to replace them with somebody else. So that's sort of my philosophy. And I talked about the coaching, but the owners, you know, they should be out here, you know, trying to do things to take care of these players. Now, I know when it's tough, man, it's tough to, you know, in today's world, every commercial that comes on the TV, somebody's asking or wanting you to donate money. So it's harder than ever. Money's tight as it has been in years. It's harder than ever to get money donated stuff. But I still believe that if you go out here and you beat the bushes enough, there's enough people that will help you out and give you enough money to help these girls along to keep all these fees down. You know, I firmly believe that deters a lot of people from playing because there's so many fees involved in it. And, you know, most of the girls that I know that play, especially play for the Thunder, is they just want to play. And, you know, when I say that, and a lot of people say, well, you know, their part should be fundraising, this, that, and the other, and maybe it should. I don't know. But I myself believe that, you know, it's their players, and unless it's just absolutely not possible, they shouldn't have to pay no big fees. And I understand, trust me, I've owned these teams. I understand it. There's a lot of field cost out there. There's a lot of transportation cost out there. The leagues charge you something. The insurance charges you something. Every time you turn around, there's going to be – I get it. I really do, trust me. But if you're an owner and you know, what's your goal? What is, if women's football, just like I said, what's it mean to you? What's your goal? Is your goal to have a good team? Is your goal to just make it through all the games? Is your goal to win every game? Is your goal to win every game in a championship? You know, I think they need to sit down and write this stuff down. What is my goal? You know, I talk to plenty of owners and coaches every week, and every single one of them have a different way that they're going about their team. Now, the end result could possibly be the same. But this one, you know, has this plan. This other one has this plan. This other one's more laid back. And this one, you know, well, I need to do this. And I need... So everybody has a different direction they're going. But if you want to have a good team, I'm just saying myself, and I understand, trust me, that, you know, if you got a big coaching staff, I mean, I don't know what some of these coaches make. I have no idea. It's none of my business. But, you know, for a lot of these teams, I mean, I know there's two teams, I think, in our league that one has 9 or 10 coaches and one has 10 or 12 coaches. You know, and of course, we've never had nowhere near that. We've got – four, basically, this year. I've got Coach Mike's always been there. I've got Jim for coaching and playing, and another woman named Wendy Dressel is helping us for now. She may be having to move, so, you know, I can't imagine having that many on staff. But nevertheless, you have to take care of them. You have to outfit them. You have to travel. So there's a big budget that comes with all this, and there's a big responsibility that comes with all this. And there's a, you know, to have a good team and have that team run right, it does take a lot of money. So, you know, the thing is, it's just like one owner that I talked to, he's like, hey, man, this is 24/7, 365 gig. We're going to be working year-round for year to year. And you know what? He's correct. It has revolved into that. And I'm not kidding that you have to stay on top of it, because a lot of these people will tell you, well, you know what? You missed the time when we donate. And I'm not taking up for them, but that is true. A lot of businesses, they send out their sponsorships or whoever they're going to give to at certain times of the year. And if you miss that, there's no way you can get in there. So, you know, it is a 365 job, you know, to do this and do it right. And it has become tougher and tougher and tougher. You got these other leagues that are, you know, to play in these other leagues, you have to have this huge budget. And first one thing, another, it has gone crazy. So it is, I think women's football is probably better than it's ever been, but it's tougher than it's ever been. If you do it right, take it serious, it's really tough. I know the Thunder charges probably the least amount of money of any team out there, because it's a nonprofit deal. They don't want to make any money. They just want the girls to play and, you know, try not to eat all this big fee. So other than paying for the uniforms, there's not hardly a fee at all, you know, and some of these teams I know ain't even going to play but four games are charging $600, not even having an opportunity to make a playoffs or a championship. Oh, that's crazy. You know, so at some point, as an owner, when does it become, you know, what does women's football mean to you? Does it mean more to have a good team that where you have to get out, work harder to raise more money, to make sure these girls can play without having to worry about paying pay player fees? Or do you just care about making the money and just making the games? So, you know, that to me is something serious about it. You know, I want a good team. That's what I care about the most. And you know, even when we had the team, we still had a small player fee. And I didn't want the players' money. I want them to go out and reach out to other people and get that money. Some of them just won't, you know, and I know that for a fact. Some of them just will not put forth an effort to do anything to help the cause. And I've seen that firsthand, and that's unfortunate, you know, because we don't want the players' money. We want other people's money. The players need to do a little something to help out as well. So that's just one of the things I had wrote down, and that's the ownership part, you know, and that's where it all starts. You can't go anywhere without somebody being the owner. And then you got to have the coach, you know, and then he's got to have the final say-so about these players and this, that, and other, and this. And, you know, pretty much what he says goes. That's the way I've always been, and that's the way I'll always be. That's the way I believe it should be. If you do your homework and you've hired the right guy. If not, then you've got the wrong guy. You know, so then you get down to players, you know. And my biggest thing is, what is a player's responsibility? You know, that's responsibility is the next thing I got wrote down, is what is a player's responsibility? So to me, I think that a lot of them, that these teams, now I'm just speaking, I don't know this to be a fact. I'm just talking to what I think and what I see from teams that I know or the team that I coach and the team that I have on. So a lot of these players think that, oh, we pay that fee. They can't do nothing. We don't have to go to practice. We don't have to go there. We don't have to do anything. Well, see, that's another thing. When you do charge these players that big fee, then they feel entitled that they're going to, you can't do nothing with them. Well, you know, that's just another reason I don't want to have to charge big fees, because that ain't the case for me. Paying you fees just, to me, gives you a right to be on that team. If you're going to play, the responsibility needs to be, you know, I'm going to make practices. If there is a fundraiser, you know, I know a lot of fundraisers are just photo shoots or just show up. Or, you know, for instance, like AFE All-Stars do, you know, go around to these hospitals and children's homes and YMCAs and do charity work. You know, there's a lot of sponsorship in that kind of stuff. That stuff's your responsibility. But listen, there's so many players out there that don't think that they have to do that. They don't think, oh, I done paid my money. I don't have to do that. See, I disagree. You know, I think if you're on that team and it's all possible, you need to be there. You know, I know when we went to Orlando, it was in the AFE, coaches and players all was required to be at the YMCA where we went to hand out school supplies for the Boys and Girls Club. That's where it was, Boys and Girls Club, not the YMCA. And we were all required to be there, and it wasn't up for discussion. And those girls paid a fortune to go. So I ain't going to say a fortune, but they paid a lot of money to go. And you know what? It wasn't up for discussion. So that's your responsibility. I think that we, as players, I think they lose that along the way. One thing I can say about the AFE All-Stars is their motto is together, and they've got it drilled in these girls that come and play for them, and it is all one. It is all together. They played a blue and a red game, I guess, American National, whatever you want to call it, but they were all there at every single meeting you had. You had a time to be there, this, that, and other. And, I mean, you know, it's just no excuse. It's unacceptable you're late or whatever. And I love that. I'll just tell you right now, that's where I think that a lot of these teams that keep folding, you know, it's just like the a team in Arizona that was in the WFA, made the playoffs last year, just folded the other day after schedules and all came out. I mean, why? You know, I don't know why. I just heard that they did. I don't know nothing about the team. But I'm just saying, I see all kinds of teams because, first of all, the owners step up, and then the coaches don't have no say-so. The players run over to coaches, and there's nobody held accountable or having any responsibility, you know. And so accountability, I got on my paper here, right under responsibility, is – you've got to be responsible for your actions. You know, you got to be responsible. If you're going to play, you need to make every single practice. In my opinion, you need to make them all. But I know stuff happens. But you need to make as many as you possibly can. And I'm going to give you scenarios. Here's the thing. It's happened to the Thunder time after time after time. And, you know, here's what I'll get. Coach, I hate it. I ain't gonna make it there this weekend. I need to go eat with my family or something. I'm like, hey man, something happens. You know, here you are already missing a practice. It ain't good. I'll be at all the rest of them. That'll be the only practice I miss. Well, guess what? The very next week, they're sick. Can't make, coach. I'm deadly sick. So you see what I'm saying? You done missed two practices in a row. I don't know who can miss two team practices and still be right on cue with everybody else, be as sharp as everybody, know everything that you did. There is no possible way for you to make up a team practice. No possible way. So even though your intentions were you wasn't going to miss one, stuff comes up, you get sick. So look what happens all of a sudden. You missed two in a row, or you missed two because something unforeseen happened, instead of, you know, just biting through it and going in, ahead the first time. See, that to me, that's where your responsibility comes in as a player. That should be at the top of your list. You know, if I can't do this, then maybe I shouldn't play. You know, I ain't even going to lie to you. We had two players quit this week. And both of them, I had extended conversations with because they talked about, you know, before at a tryout, before, hope I can make it work, this, that, and other, before we put all this work in on them and do all this, are you sure you can play? Yeah. Are you sure you can make practice? You're new. You've never played before. We got to have you there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we put in all these practices, and then the very same day, I get the same kind of message from both of them. Coach, I appreciate your time, but I just ain't going to be able to do it. Do you know how mad that makes me? Let me tell you something. I'm boiling about it. Because not because they quit, not because whatever. I care less. You won't be a quitter. You go right ahead. But because we put in this work on you, after I had multiple conversations with you and told you what you were responsible for and what we held you accountable for, and you don't have any more respect for me or the rest of the team or whatever, just to throw in the towel that easy, that's why we have teams folding. I'll just tell you right now, that's why we have teams folding. So the level of responsibility in women's football is terrible, at least on the teams that I know about. And I see a bunch of them, and I see a bunch of players. I travel around and watch a lot of football, talk to a lot of coaches, owners, players from other teams, all that stuff. Every week, every year, I go to all this. So we need to instill, you know, this. And the ball rolls downhill. It all starts with the ownership. You know, nobody's going to, unless you're an owner and a coach, nobody's going to be the coach and then hire an owner, you know. So that's a big thing for me. And then, like I said, right under it, I've got wrote down accountability, you know, and it goes right back to, you know, when you set the practice schedule out there, you know, here's your practice schedule, you know, and you start talking to these people about, hey, we need you to all these practices, you know. And I mean, especially when you play key positions, you know, how do you think you're going to keep a position when you show up half the time and the person showing up that's maybe not as good as you, they're showing up all the time and they know what to do. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have as much accountability. And, you know, as a coach, I'll tell you right now, I try to hold these girls as accountable as anybody. A lot of them don't like it. And you know what? There'll probably be a few more quit along the way because I harp on there's the biggest thing, biggest pet peeve of mine is not making practice. If I can take enough time to make practice every day that we have a practice, then I don't see why nobody else can, you know. I'm just telling you, that goes into the accountability, you know, and it's whatever the owners and them put forth, what your player fees are or your uniform. Most of the time, you know that up front. If you're going to play, you know what? You're responsible and accountable for getting that in. So, you know, I really do think that we're going about, and I'm saying we because I'm a part of the problem and hope them will be part of the fixing of this thing. But, you know, I'm as guilty as the rest of them. You know, you don't have enough players. You know, that's a problem when you play in the small divisions. You don't have enough players. A lot of times you got to bite your tongue when you don't want to. Believe me, I don't like biting my tongue. And usually I don't bite it too long. And, you know, you have a lot of every year, we have a lot of good players missing a lot of practice. And it's just unacceptable to me. And you know, I would think that if you played on good teams and you won a lot of football games and you won championships, you'd have more gumption about yourself and hold yourself to accountable and to higher standards than what a lot of these do. So, you know, and the next thing I had wrote down was practice, and it, you know, it just goes right on down in it. And, you know, so as you get into practicing and stuff, and then I talk about every week, is the discipline. You know, I got discipline right under that. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, how much do you, as coaches, do you talk to these players? You know, I wonder in the NFL, because like I said, in the Chargers game against Jacksonville, I mean, Joey Bosa is one of the best players out there, no ifs, ands, or buts. And he thought a guy jumped off sides, and when you slow it down, the guy did jump off start. But he takes his helmet off while he's in the field of play and just slams it down in front of the coach. Well, the coach realizes it's going to be a penalty, and the head coach runs after his helmet. Now, I know these guys are grown men. I know these guys are really good athletes. I know these guys are wired to the max. They get paid lots and lots and lots of money to play a game that we all play, that we all love. They get paid lots of money to do it. But are you telling me that as a head coach that you don't talk to these people about discipline? Let me tell you something. From the very first day we had a practice, I start telling my girls about discipline in these football games. Discipline. You throw a punch, you're out. You get suspended, you know, you're out. Fighting, you're out. That ain't just my rules. It's the league rules, you know. Listen, here's what you're going to – we ain't going to tolerate this. We ain't going to tolerate that. You know, where is the discipline? Where is it going to? You know, I mean, it's a joke, man. I mean, I see, you know, in the high school basketball game the other day, same kind of deal. One of the better players on the court hurt his ankle and was limping around. The coach, which is his uncle, pulls him out. He gets mad, tries to wave the guy off that's coming in for him. He keeps waving him off. They keep telling him to come to the sideline. And this kid's one of the better players. And he gets all pissy and goes to the water, and his dad hollers from the stands, "You shouldn't have acted like you was hurt," or whatever. And he screams from the court to tell his dad to shut up. And I'll just tell you, I about lost it at that point. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And I couldn't believe that the coach had enough gumption, but he did. He can say whatever they wanted. The kid never went back in the rest of the game. Matter of fact, they lost the game in overtime and could have used him, really used him. But his uncle was the coach, and I guess he heard all that, and he kept him on the bench for the next game. Now, the game after that, we heard that his knee was sore, but he didn't dress out. So I don't know what happened, but, you know, this guy's a freshman. He's really good playing on the varsity, starting on the varsity, freshman. And he's already that out of control, you know. And I talked to a guy, and he's like, "Man, he's just a real good competitor and all that." I said, "Okay, your boy plays for the team. What are you going to do if your boy screams up there?" He said, "Well, you know better than that." I said, "That's exactly my point. Your boy's a competitor, too. There probably ain't no bigger competitor than you in any sport. And your boy's a competitor, and you're going to allow that?" No. So where is the discipline? I mean, are we disciplining these players? You know, are we talking to them about it? I don't care if those NFL guys do make millions. It's costing you a football game. I mean, the coach looks like an idiot trying to chase down this big old guy's helmet that he slammed down right in front of you. I can tell you right now, it wouldn't happen to me. I don't care how much money it pays or how much he's making or anything else. It's a disgrace. And I'll just tell you, me and Jennifer sitting up there, I don't know, she knew what was going on. I was ranting and raving. She's like, "What?" I said, "You're not the serious guy?" It just torqued me, because I just don't get into that. So, you know, where is the discipline? You know, are we teaching our kids and our players and our grown men and grown women? You know, you would think at that point you shouldn't have to discipline. You know, you're teaching them the rules and the ins and outs. Listen, somebody's going to throw something, it's going to be me. If somebody's going to slam down something, it'll be me. and I did it. Now everybody, you know, whatever, people say, oh, that looks bad, whatever. I used to see John Madden pull his hair out on the sideline, throw down a hat, stomp it, and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? It's on the sidelines, and it didn't get no penalties. You know, it didn't cost his team the football game. You know, not one play cost him a game, but essentially it moved Jacksonville in so close that they'd scored on the play that they went for two that essentially ended up winning the game. You know, so discipline, and it starts with our young kids, and then it goes right on to these women. I'm telling you, every day before practice, we talk here about things, and we work on this. And you know what? Stuff that we're not going to tolerate, you know. Now, if it's up to me, if you didn't have a sick or doctor's excuse for missing practice, if it's up to me, I probably wouldn't have enough to even suit out. Because I'd just tell them not to come. But, you know, we're not in that world. We don't have 60 to where I could do that, you know, or I sure would, because I think practice is big. But we talk to them, and we try to tell them about this. When we try to tell them, you know, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. And I don't think that we're doing enough of that. And I'm talking, me included, and coaches at middle schools and high schools. And, you know, it starts at a younger age, and it goes on, you know. So what are we doing? You know, then the next thing I've got down here is, you know, what about being a teammate? You know, what's it mean to be a good teammate? You know, you see these players, just like that boy, you know, he's a really good player. He could have possibly, he didn't cost himself the team the game, because my nephew missed three foul shots down the stretch that cost them a game, and then their other best player did a bonehead play that cost them a game. But what about this kid? I mean, do you think he thought about as a player, you know, when I go to hollering out like that they're going to bench me the rest of the time? What kind of teammate can you be? What kind of, you know, great guy can you be? These guys win this Walker Payton Award every year. You know, Walker Payton was probably one of the best, humblest guys that I ever seen, and I got to watch play. There's a lot of them, but Walker Payton was one of them. And, you know, I heard these guys talk about him being the best teammate they ever had, you know, best teammate ever, and this, that, and other. And I get to thinking about it all the time. You know, I see it in this women's football a lot. Here we got good players, and they got terrible attitudes, man. And that just feeds on. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you're a great teammate, if you're a better teammate, just think how much better those players would be around you. And then they could really help you. You know, if you want to be a great teammate, help the players. You know, I know it ain't your job, but listen, there's only, especially here and where we play, we don't have a bunch of coaches, you know. A lot of these girls that played a long time, they got to take these leadership roles and coaches' roles and help these girls. I'm not saying they have to coach them up, just help them along the way. It ain't nothing but helping them line up a little better. Hey, you know what I seen on that route? You rounded it off a little instead of cutting it, making it sharp, you know. Hey, you went a little too far here and there. Help them out. Be a good teammate, man. And, you know, every year, I always figure that every year that if you took a vote, and I didn't, but if you take votes for your captains, and, of course, you got buddy stuff, but people that really know football, they usually choose the best players, teammates, kind of leadership people there is at the first of the season. If you did that again at the end of the season, would you have the same ones? And if you are, then you're probably a pretty good teammate. If you're not, then you might need to work a little on something. You know, we all have a responsibility to the game of football, and we all have a responsibility, whether, you know, it be as a coach or it be as a player. And, you know, the responsibility is to everybody on that team, you know, and be a good teammate. Do everything you can for that team. And I just see so much of it out here, you know, that, and it all this stuff just trickles down from one to the next to the next to the next, that, you know, we're just seeing this over and over and over. And when I got to thinking about it, I was like, man, it just goes on and on and on, you know, about how it all falls in place, you know, and being a good teammate ain't a lot of it mental, you know. So the next thing I got wrote down is your mentality, you know. What is your mentality as a player? You know, what do you think of every single day? You know, I know when I was in school, I know I'm different. I wasn't great. I didn't play college ball. I should have. I could have played somewhere. But I loved it. I loved the game of football. Practice, man, was probably the highlight of my day when I was in school. And then game time was just unbelievable. It used to excite me so much. I was sick at my stomach before we played. I was puking everywhere. I couldn't stand it. That's how much I loved the game. And the mentality was is every time I stepped on that practice field or the game field, I was going 100%, you know. And I can always remember the coaches said, hey, tone it down, tone it down, tone it down, you know, because you're going that way. You know, it's the way you're driven. Well, I played ball my whole life. My older brother played ball, you know, and I played ball against them. We played backyard football all the time. I mean, forever, for 10 years. I started when I was in second grade, I guess. 10 years, 11, whatever it is. Football was my life. I played basketball some up in the eighth grade, but football was what I loved, and I played it all the time. And even when I played backyard football, my mentality was to make every play. And I wanted to be the best, even if we were just playing backyard football, because I want to win. Even, I don't care if we're playing backyard or not, if they're keeping score, I want to win. So my mentality was, hey, this is football. I want to win. I'm going to go 100%. You know, I'm going to give it everything I got. Now, I knew a lot about the sport. So, you know, I hear all the time, this is what I hear as a coach from girls is, well, I don't know enough to be going wide open. And I'm like, really? You know, I didn't know that going wide open required you to know anything. You know, that's my point. And I'm lost here, you know. I never was that way. I've always been taught, hey, you go 100%. If you make a mistake, oh, well, a lot of times people don't even know it because you're giving the effort you give. The mentality for me is, you know, I'm going to play football. Hey, I love the sport. It's the greatest thing in the world. Nothing can compare to it. When's practice? I'm going to be there every single day. I don't miss practice. I don't miss games, whatever. Unless I'm hurt, unless I'm on crutches, I'm playing. And I'm telling you, that was my mentality. You know, my buddy Terry that coaches wrestling, you know, me and him talk almost every day. Almost every day. And he calls me every day that we talk. He's telling me, these kids are so soft mentally, it's unbelievable, Dave. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, like a guy that made it to the state last year wrestling, made it to the state, and went pretty far in there. I mean, I think he went like 3 rounds from winning a title. So, I mean, he went pretty far, I guess. Young kid. Well, he's a sophomore back then, so he's a junior this year. They're at a wrestling tournament this year, and he's putting out about half the effort Terry said he should have been putting out. Said his knee got hurt. Story short, Terry said he didn't think he was hurt. They took him to the hospital and sent him for an MRI. Come back, the MRI was negative. And he said, well, coach, they told me not to wrestle for 2 weeks. He said, 2 weeks? It'll all be over in 2 weeks. He said, you must not want to wrestle too bad. And the kid, he told me point blank, said the kid looked at him and said, no, I really don't. Now, I'll guarantee you, if you're wrestling for Terry Young, he's put you through the ringers, that you're in some kind of shape. The money he spends on those kids with all this protein, and they're eating right, and they're drinking right, and all the work and all that he's done, and he's put into this kid, and he's in that mental state, I don't want to do it. I mean, where are we? You know, if you're in a sport, are you in it or not? You know, and I mean mentally, physically, you know, all this just falls into place. And I, like I said, I was just sitting there thinking about it the other day, and I just started writing stuff down, and all this stuff just started rolling out of my mind of you know, what it's like, and, you know, and teammate. You know, what is a good teammate? How do you want to be remembered? You know, how do you want to be compared to? Who do you want to be compared to? Who do you want talking about you? If you make it to the Hall of Fame, who would you want to induct you? You know, all that stuff to be thinking about. And the next thing was hustle. And I meant to talk to it on it a little bit right there. You know, is hustle. Is do these people not realize? And I heard we was practicing tonight, working out. We wasn't practicing. Let me rephrase that. We had extra workout with some young people that really need the extra work. And I heard Jennifer hollering, listen, hustle takes zero talent. Zero talent. And that's the most true statement that you can put out there. You don't have to know any single thing about any sport to give 100%. Nothing. And, you know, if you tell me you're in warm-ups and they're telling you to, you know, do this or that, and you can't give 100%, it's just unheard of. And you see it. Listen, I've seen a ton of it, not just in women's football, but mainly because that's, you know, where we're at. But zero talent to hustle. How many of these players that hustle, that every practice give everything they got? How many? You know, and if you're a player and you can't go look your coach or look your other teammates in the eye and say, hey, I failed you today. I fell short of giving you everything I got. You know what? That'd be the first step to getting it right, because you were honest with yourself. And the next time that you don't do it, then it's on you. You know what I mean? You got to give every single thing you got. And I'm going to tell you, we haven't had a lot of players over the years at any point in time, but we have played our hind ends off. We have played hard. You know, I mentioned several weeks ago, a coach, friend of mine, Paul Natal, that had that heart attack, is getting better. You ask him, you know, about playing. He's up, coaches against us several times, and you ask him about playing me, whether we won or he won, and he's like, man, the games always get harder. You guys just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. You know what? We don't know. A lot of times we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to play hard. You know, and that's what we're going to get out of you. And if you don't want to play hard, then I don't want you. I'll just tell you right now, I ain't got room for you. I don't care how good you are. You got to play hard, and you got to hustle if you're going to win at any game, any level. And, you know, all this stuff just goes hand in hand, and you think about it. So that, to me, that's one of the biggest, is the non-hustle and the teammate stuff. All that's looked over a lot because of a lot of talent. Two more I got left on here. One, and the next to the last one, is the opportunities. You know, what kind of opportunities does football give you? Well, for me, the opportunity was, I used to tell everybody that, you know, if it went for football, I'd probably quit school. Well, the reality was, if it wasn't for football, I would have liked to quit school, but my mama would have put her foot plumb up my butt, and I would have still went to school. But I would like to think, you know, that's the main reason, that I went to school was the opportunity to play football. What it instilled in me is stuff I try to instill in these girls today as a coach is all the stuff I just listed down through here. The game of football learned me from an early age. You know, now I do have a temper, and a lot of people that know me are probably sitting there and like, yeah, okay, yeah. And I do have a temper, and I get mad, and I'll throw stuff, and yeah, I've been kicked out of a game before. I've had penalties called on me before, and, you know, when I played basketball, I fouled out about every game, and I'd get a technical about every game, passionate about it. But what I learned from sports, and mainly football, the opportunities is you carry over in life. That's what makes you successful. Sports gives you a sense of pride, and playing football is the ultimate sense of pride to me. The opportunities that it teaches you, you know, you just look, NFL is the biggest sport, whatever you want to call it, there is. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, those teams only play 17 games each. You look how many games baseball plays, 160, and basketball plays 82. These guys only play 17 regular season games. It's huge. And football gives you that sense of pride. And you know, let's just say this. You go to a school, high school football game, and the team ain't even that good, and the stands are full. You go to a basketball game where the team's really good and there's empty seats sitting everywhere. You go to a baseball game where the team makes the state championship and there's way more empty seats than there are full. You go watch a girls' basketball, you can hear the coach holler at any point in time. It's so quiet. I ain't been to a volleyball game since I was in school. Nobody goes. Wrestling, the parents is all that go. I'm just telling you, football is the ultimate team sport. And when you play football, it gives you so many opportunities in life as a leaders and all that stuff that the world is just, I mean, the sky's the limit. And playing women's football, you know, there's not a whole lot of women out here, especially around this area, that can say, hey, I play women's football. And you know what? Oh, by the way, I've won a championship. I'm not just one, let me tell you. I've got two. Well, guess what? We just won another one. We got three. And, you know, the goal every year is to win another one. Those are the opportunities. Now, what teams do with it, or what individuals do with it, that's all up to them. That's up to them, man. But the opportunities are in life. You know, it's just like we went to eat the other day, and I had on a couple of my championship rings, and Jennifer goes to get it. We're sitting at the bar waiting on her sister and her man, and we're sitting there, and she gets up to go get her table, and I was waiting to pay for her bar tab, and this guy's like, man, what's them rings? And I showed him and told him. He said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. That's so cool. You know, where do you play? He lives right here. He's never heard of us. And I told him, and you know, he's so excited. He wants to come to the game. The opportunities, man. How many people can say that? I can't say that as a player. There's not very many people in this country that all the sports that you play that you can parade around with championship rings on or wear a jacket, a team coat with championship footballs down the sleeve of it. There's just not. There's just not that many to go around. And to say, hey, three of these rings, well, I've got four of these rings. You know, you got how many ever you got, you know, to do that. Man, that's unbelievable. The opportunity's there for you to do lots of things with it. But you have to go after them. They're not going to come to you. Very seldom does great opportunities come to you. You have to go get them, you know. And if you're not chasing your dreams and your goals and stuff in life, then you know, every year I set a new goal and thing for me. And if it happens this year, I'll tell what my goal was at the end of the year. It's an awful big goal, and you know, we got a lot of work to do to reach that goal, and it's not just win a championship. There's a lot more to it than that. And I'll spill it if it all happens. But, you know, every year I set a goal for myself as a coach and for this team that I coach and what I want from these girls, you know. And I ain't going to lie to you. There's some of these girls that are young and so far behind on knowledge of football that, you know, my goal for them is to just learn them more about the game and hope I can get them in a game, you know, somewhere along the way that we can get them some game experience. But you know what? I'm honest with them about it. But listen, how cool would it be if you're in high school as a girl to go to high school with hopefully a championship ring on, get you a Thunder coat with the championship on it? You know, they don't, unless you play basketball or volleyball or softball, the only girls' sports they are band. You know, football, you got all boys football, baseball, basketball, and wrestling, and you know, just the band on down the line. So how cool would that be? Those are great opportunities, man, I'm telling you. It's just what we do with them. You know, I can write all this stuff down. I can talk about it every night till I'm blue in the face. And if we don't take advantage as coaches, as owners, as players, whatever the case may be, if we don't take advantage of all that, then it's on us. You know, it's on me. It's on you. It's on whoever's a player. It's all of us. You know, we're all in it together. We're all on different teams, but essentially we're all on the same team when it all boils down at the end. You know, how much, you know, somebody asked me a while back, what would you give, you know, what would you give to see your wife play for a professional paid football team? You know, I'd give anything I got, you know, anything I could, you know, that's what it's about, you know, and how many people would do that, you know, if it meant me stepping aside or whatever, well, that's what I'd do, you know, because that's the ultimate goal for these girls, I think, for these women, is to somewhat be like the WNBA is to the NBA, you know. I don't know if it'll ever happen, you know. I see a lot of women and really that talks a big game and then stuff happens, and every time that happens, it seems like there's a setback. You know, we just have this past week, we had a team leave one league, go to the other league, and now they're already redoing schedules and this, that, and other. I mean, we're all into it. You know, the WNFC starts April the 1st. The USWFL starts April the 1st. And the WFA starts, I think, April 22nd. And, you know, teams have been wanting to get the schedule to get the fields. And now, because a team bails out or gets kicked out, whatever it is, I don't know. Nevertheless, we're already changing the schedule and stuff, you know. And it's crazy, you know, because we're not all in it at the same time, at the same goals, I don't think. And as long as that happens, I used to think that we was getting closer and closer, but I don't think we are. Just because there's too many powerful people pulling in different directions and everybody else is just sort of stuck in the mud in between. And if it happens, it'll be a miracle. I hope it does. But you know what? I think for a lot of people, if they listen tonight, they could point the finger at themselves for a lot of this. I mean, I know I can. I know there's stuff when I was writing all this stuff down that, you know, I need to be better on. But a lot of it's out of my control too. So, but what are we doing to help our teams? What does women's football really mean to you? People that listen to this podcast are somewhat about women's football. But hey, that's about all I got. Two things I really want to thank. I know a lot of people that don't listen to this podcast have really, really helped me out. Mentally, physically, help us with funds along the way. I've been out of work for since September. Man, there's so many people, I can't even begin to name them, that's helped me along the way, and I really can't say I appreciate it, how much I appreciate it. You know, I can't say thank them enough, and, you know, my wife, Jennifer, has been there every step of the way. When I'll tell you things, for me, it hurt me more mentally than it did physically. And there was times, man, I just didn't think I was going to make it. And you don't know how tough it is to get through that stuff. And I'll tell you, I talked about being mentally tough right there. I'll tell you, it really challenged me. And that's what I say. You don't know till you get dealt with these hands what you can take. And we take so much for granted. And we take so much for granted as players, as people, as human beings in our life, and everything we do, we take for granted, the people around you. So thank everybody again that's helped me in one way, fashion, or another. You don't have to, in my opinion, you don't have to give nobody any kind of, you can't put value or dollars amounts on helping people. Some people help you in more ways than money could ever help you, you know, and some, you know, money's the only way they can help you. And that's fine, too. There's just certain different ways. And, you know, it all goes back hand in hand. And the next thing is I want to thank J.C. Hawk Sports Network. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I got in a big way and forgot to thank them. And it really bothered me because, listen, I'm just an old country boy from East Tennessee. And several years ago, why she wanted me to have this opportunity, I don't know. So without her, it wouldn't be possible, and without people tuning in, I guess, it wouldn't be possible. But, you know, it's something I really love to do. I just do it from my heart, just, you know, every week. I just say what I think, and that's the way it's always been, and that's the way I'll always be. So that being said, I'm going to get off here, and we'll catch you next week. Till then, we'll see you.